On the other hand, that means that this is in opposition to the previous verse, which was talking about literature for crow-like men. So this is the verse describing the literature for swan-like men. On the other hand, that literature, which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words, directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purport. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone, in every place without exception. Not just for a few people from the Stone Age in India. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple, and there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. Because China was attacking the northeast part of India, was all mountains, and people can't live there anyway. Of a land which is not suitable for habitation, not very suitable for habitation, and certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on slight provocation. This is not due to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail, and there will be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. When there is fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors who may be foreigners, and yet without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves, and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general all over the world, there is no wonder that a person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption of all description, and everyone knows it well. There are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. In many countries there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the public want such literature, yet it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. The people in general want to read, that is a natural instinct, but because their minds are polluted they want such literatures. Under the circumstances, transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also it will supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. In the beginning they may not like it, because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy, but we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures which are catering poison to society will then automatically cease. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by Sri Narad, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Sri Guru Shiyatav Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada said that his purports are his transcendental ecstasies. And this purport is overflowing with Prabhupada's transcendental ecstasy. Prabhupada is encapsulating his mission, his faith in the power of Srimad Bhagavatam to change the world. This is Prabhupada's mission and his service. It's not his service just like you see some, one guru may tell, you see Prabhupada's guru told him, you preach Krishna consciousness in the English language. So it's not just like the Guru Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave him some instruction. Like it's not an arbitrary matter, but actually, as can be deduced from this verse, Srila Prabhupada is very much part of Krishna's plan for ushering the golden age in the age of Kali. We can understand from this verse. This verse predicts Srila Prabhupada. This can be deduced from the two statements here. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo. That these words, those words that glorify the Ananta Bhagavan, the unlimited Supreme Lord. So those words will create a revolution in the lives of the sinful population. Now, if we consider Srimad Bhagavatam is traditionally spoken in India among pious people. So where is the question of the Srimad Bhagavatam creating a revolution in the sinful population when it's preached among the pious people? The Srimad Bhagavatam was first preached among the sinful people when Srila Prabhupada brought it to the West. And for them it was a revolution in consciousness to hear this message, which had never been preached before. And abhathavatyapi, it is, even if the message, or the message of the glorification, anantasya namani, glorification of the name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes of the Supreme Lord, even if it is imperfectly composed, then those who are sadhava, those who are sincere, Prabhupada says, purified men who are thoroughly honest, those who are sincere, shrinvanti, gayanti, grinanti, they will hear it, they will repeat it, they will sing it, they will preach it, and they will accept it. So, what is this abhathavatyapi? Prabhupada himself in his purport more than once alludes to the fact that his English, and English itself is imperfect, is an imperfect language. It's asanskrita. Sanskrita means perfectly made, perfectly composed. And English is not even, it's an evolved language. And it's full of many imperfections, just like Prabhupada used to point out, B-U-T, but, P-U-T, put. It's non-phonetic. You can't, just like if you see C-O-U-G-H, cough, how can you say, how do you know it's pronounced cough, and then E-N-O-U-G-H, enough. So it's not cough, it's not off, it's uff. The O-U-G-H becomes uff, and then S-L-O-U-G-H becomes slough. It's pronounced differently. There's about four different ways of the. So it's a very strange language. But Sanskritum is a perfect language. English itself is even so-called experts, they don't agree on what is proper usage of certain words or what is the meaning or proper accepted meaning of different words. They'll have in the dictionary that some experts accept that it can be used like this and others don't. So, usage problem. That's written in the dictionary. But then Prabhupada, there are generally accepted norms of composition of English, even though it's a strange language. But Prabhupada's English is far from perfect. His grammar, syntax, it's unusual from the Oxford English point of view. Of course, we're reading now, this is the edited edition, but Prabhupada was writing this before he came to the West. And he was writing it in that particular style of English, which was imperfect. He alludes to it twice in this purport. That even though it's imperfectly composed, if you read it, you'll think it's unusual English. Those pre-edited editions. But because the message is so important, Prabhupada says that those who are sincere, those who are saragrahi, Saranga, this Parikshit Maharaj used the word Saranga and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Saragrahi, those who are interested in accepting the essence. They won't say, oh, look, you see, this is the wrong grammar or wrong punctuation. Oh, see, this message is so important, we should accept it. So, what does this Abhadhavatyapi refer to? It refers to, where else in the history of recital of Srimad Bhagavatam do we find it Abhadhavati, not properly composed. And preached among the sinful population and creating a revolution. It refers to Prabhupada's presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. What else can it refer to? Just like we have Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sangopangasya Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. If it's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then who does it refer to? It's obvious, if you see, it must refer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who else has preached this Krishna consciousness by Sankirtan Yagya in Kali Yuga? So if this must refer to Prabhupada. So this Narad Muni has predicted that Srila Prabhupada will come and compose his Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada saw as the main thrust for changing people's lives in the Western countries. He came to the West after preparing himself for preaching in the West. What was that preparation? He had 3 volumes of Bhagavatam printed. That's what he brought. 40 rupees and his cooker and a trunk full of books. And maybe one of them. 2 trunks of books, Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I'm ready. Now I have something substantial to present. They can take the book and see. So Prabhupada, as he was on the boat, Jaladuta, he wrote 2 poems expressing the same confidence that he expresses in this purport, that the world is a very, especially Paschatya Desh, the Western world, is a very confused and sinful place. Rajas, tamas, tara, achanna. They're covered by the lower modes of material nature. So, but he had great faith that, as Prabhupada himself said once, it's a very interesting conversation. You can find that. That's recorded. That's printed in that conversations book. There was one devotee was reporting to Prabhupada how devotees in France, some of them had seen some beings from a different cosmic level. And these beings from a different cosmic level had given them certain instructions. But not everyone could see them. Only 1 or 2 of the devotees in Paris. So, Prabhupada said, well, how come only you could see them and no one else? You know, we have to accept this, that you have some special cosmic vision that no one else has. And Prabhupada said, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I never had any such cosmic visions. He said, we should simply stick to what our acharyas have given us. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Arna Koriya Manayasha. Then he asked the devotees, what does it mean? Do you know what it means? So I'm asking you, what does it mean? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kore Aikya Arna Kariya Manayasha. What does it mean? Not actually emanating. That sounds like, that's the wrong translation of Achyutananda. It's the words from the, it's not emanating. It's like emanating gives the sense of some, they're just kind of coming out without any control, but the words spoken from the teachings from the lotus mouth of the Guru, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitete Koriya Aikya, making them one with our heart. I don't, not desire, no, No desire for anything else. Just this. Simply to accept the words of our spiritual master. So, Prabhupada quoted this and Prabhupada said that sometimes I wonder how this wonderful thing has happened to me, that I was able to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. I had so many godbrothers who were sannyasis well ahead of me, and they had so much personal association with Guru Maharaj, and so much learned, and so much austere. Then how did this happen? How is it that this gift came to me, that I was able to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world? Why not the other godbrothers? Prabhupada said, when I examine, I find there is one reason, that among all my godbrothers, only I had full faith in the words of my Guru Maharaj. Very important statement. Only I had full faith that this could be and must be this preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada gave another example that it was reported to him that some of his godbrothers had said that, well, you know, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he went to the West and he preached. And anyone could have done that. One reply to that could have been, well, why didn't you do it? You could have done it. Why didn't you do it? Where's your compassion, your Vaishnava compassion? Where's the following the order of the spiritual master? But Prabhupada, he took another angle of reply. He told the story of Christopher Columbus, who, having returned to the royal court at Portugal, became the apple of the eye of the... Or he became, having discovered America, even he didn't at the time know what a great continent it was, but he discovered it, and it was a great discovery, and it took a lot of courage, because his sailors, they almost mutinied, because they were afraid if they sailed any further, they'd go off the edge of the world. So it took great courage to go on, or whatever, but he discovered America. And then other sailors were saying that, well, you know, anyone could have done that. We could have, you know, what's so great? So Christopher Columbus, he said, okay, he brought one egg, chicken's egg, presumably. And he said, see if you can stand it vertically. Can any of you stand it vertically? See if you can do it. And if you try to stay, you can just balance it nicely, and then however nicely you do, you just let it go and it'll fall over. So, of course you can't stand an egg on its side. It's impossible. So Christopher Columbus said, look, I'll show you. So he took it, just gently tapped it, so it cracked a little bit, and it stood up very nicely. He said, well, anyone could have done that. But you didn't know until I showed you. So Prabhupada had the courage and the faith to do it. Others didn't want to help. They didn't think it was possible to make the Westerners devotees. They didn't even think it was desirable. When Prabhupada's disciples first came to India, and in many ways they may have been undesirable, because you know, they're just hippie-like behavior. They were just like in a transition period between being hippies and devotees. Once one respectable Indian gentleman came to Prabhupada and complained about two of his disciples. He said, they were fighting. I saw them in front of me. They were fist fighting in front of me. Prabhupada said, you're surprised they're fighting? I'm surprised they're chanting Hare Krishna. Fighting, that they're doing. That's their propensity. But they're fighting. They're doing all kinds of crazy things. But they're also chanting Hare Krishna. Don't you see that? That's the wonderful thing. Anyway, you know, they're crazy hippies, that background. But now they're chanting Hare Krishna. And they'll become purified by that if they stick to this process. That's the implication. So Prabhupada had great faith. He defended his disciples, even though they many times they were doing things which people thought was very strange. But now in the West they thought they were very strange, because they were acting like Vaishnava, you know, dressing in devotee clothes and chanting Hare Krishna. And in India they thought they were very strange, because they're dressed as Vaishnavas, but they're acting like Westerners in many ways. Although, I mean, I don't, they're obviously very sincere, but at the same time, those are very special days in many ways. These are also special days in different ways. So, but Prabhupada defended. You see, don't you think it's wonderful? These people have accepted this culture. They're following all these principles, I mean, which even most Indians are not following. No tea, no coffee, for instance. So, Prabhupada defended them because he had great faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, that if people follow it sincerely, they will become purified. And with faith in the order of his spiritual master, he went to the Western countries to preach the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he composed the two prayers just before embarking on his mission while on the Jaladuta, in which he expressed his confidence in the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his confidence that this will be successful. So I'll just read a few lines from that he wrote. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Shachi Shuta Priya Ati Krishna Shebai Jar Tulla Nai. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Shachi Suta Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, son of Shachi. Shachi Suta Priya Ati is very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there is no one to compare with him in serving Krishna. His service to Krishna is incomparable. This is the sign of a Vaishnava. It's always to serve. It's not, some people may have different ecstasies and different things like this, but like Prabhupada said, I didn't have any such ecstasies. I just tried to serve the order of my spirit. Of course, Prabhupada has these are his ecstasies, these purports. But his ecstasy is his service. He wants to see how to serve Krishna. And just like in this summer camp, there are so many opportunities for service. If we're willing to take it, then we can become advanced. So, Krishna say by jar tulla nai. There's no, it's incomparable in his service to Krishna. Shei shei mahanta guru jagate madde uru. Krishna bhakti dei thai thai. Says he is the mahanta guru. Mahanta guru in Gauriya usage, in Shuddha, in Gauriya Bhasha, in actual or purified. Gauriya Mahanta, generally that means the proprietor of a temple or something like this. But in the usage of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used Mahanta. Previous to him also, the Choshati Mahanta, the 64 Mahantas, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, means a very great, very powerful gurus. So he is a very powerful guru. Shai Shai Mahanta Guru. Jagate Maddeyuru. He is the greatest in the world. He's actually Jagat Guru. And he distributes Krishna Bhakti in all over the place, in various places. All over, distributing Krishna consciousness. Tar Itcha Balavan Paschate Tantan Hoijate Gorangerna. His desire is very strong. And what is that desire? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has desired, will be distributed throughout the Western world. Prithivite Nagaradi, Asamudra Nadanadi. What is that? Hoija. Now I lost it. Shakale Loi Krishna. That throughout the world, throughout the towns and villages, from ocean to ocean, from river to river, everyone will take the name of Krishna. Everyone will chant Hare Krishna. This is the desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, Prabhupada came to fulfill that mission, and in another song, in the second song he composed, he gave his vision of how that would be possible, how that people, how can they, Rajas Tamas Gune, Era Shabai Achanna, the people in the Western countries, they're covered by the lower modes of material nature, the lower modes. And he's wondering in his poem, Kibabe Bhujale Tara, Bhuje She Rosh, how can I convince them of this Krishna consciousness? How can I make them understand this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, which is beyond the modes of nature, and they're in the lower modes of nature? How is it possible? So, Tava Icha Hoy Jodi Tade Udha. He's speaking to Krishna. If it's your desire to deliver them, Bhujibe Nishchoy Tabe Kota She Toma, then it'll be possible to convince them. But what is the system? How to convince these people covered by the lower modes of nature to chant the names of Krishna and take to Krishna consciousness? Bhagavate Kota She Tava Avatar. This Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Kata, this is Krishna's avatar. This is Krishna. Bhagavatam is Krishna. Dira, dira hoye shune jodi kane bar bar. So they can become purified if they hear the message of Bhagavatam again and again, again and again and again, hearing. So this was Prabhupada's faith. People who are in the lower modes of nature, somehow they can become Rajas Tama Gune Achanna, to be covered by the lower modes of nature, means adhira. Their mind will be disturbed, but somehow if they can become peaceful enough to hear the message of Bhagavatam, then Srinvatang Swakatak, Prabhupada quotes, Srinvatang Swakatak Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, they'll become pious just by doing that. Srinvatang, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridyantas Tohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhritsatam. And the heart will be cleansed of all the bad things. Prabhupada had this faith that even in the most degraded people, if they hear the message of Bhagavatam again and again, then their heart will become cleansed. And Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kamalo Bhade Asya Cheta Eta Anavidam Stitan Satvam Pasidat. Then by hearing, they'll become free from the modes of Rajastamago, and they'll become free from this effect. They'll be situated in goodness. By hearing the Bhagavatam, they'll go on to further advance. So Prabhupada had this faith that they hearing regularly Srimad Bhagavatam. And so he insisted to his disciples, you read my books, you hear every day Bhagavatam. I personally feel that although we may discuss in this way and that way, a lot of the problems in our movement are because we're not reading Prabhupada's books, so we don't hear, we're not regularly hearing, we're reading so many other things. But when we're not, we don't have as our basis the message of Bhagavad as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. It's actually Krishna consciousness is very simple and straightforward, very clear. It's very easy to understand. But instead of making a pilgrimage to the Manasa Sarovar, the pure, still lake that's resorted to by swans, we're going to the garbage like the crows, and maybe some kind of trying to make some kind of hybrid between a swan and a crow. That we chant Hare Krishna sometimes and read all this garbage, but there's no hybrid. There's no hybrid between a swan and a crow. Once you go to the garbage, you're a crow. You're not a swan. And that chanting won't be counted. If we're not accepting the Siddhanta, Bhakti Siddhanta, then that won't be pleasing. We can chant Hare Krishna, but it won't be pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha, Arasha Bhash, Shunile Prabhur Chite Nahoyulash. Anything which is not according to Bhakti Siddhanta, the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness, or which is a improper mixing of rasas, then hearing it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu won't be pleased. So, Krishna consciousness will be successful in spreading over the world. But we can also expect, it happens whenever there's any great religious leader, that after his going away from this world, he leaves his instructions, and then many of his followers distort them. So we can expect it with Prabhupada. I mean, it's not an unusual thing. It happened even with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Immediately after he left, there were people misrepresenting or taking advantage of the wave of Vaishnavism that Mahaprabhu had brought in. There were imitation Gopals and so imitation immediately after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can expect that. But at the same time, we should know that if we stick to the actual message of Bhagavatam as given by Srila Prabhupada, then it's perfect. Everything in Srimad Bhagavatam is perfect. The description of the atom is perfect. The description of the atom by scientists is imperfect. Must be imperfect. Because Brahma Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Partav, they have the congenital, actually not even congenital, life after life. Congenital, you know, that means, it means born, a defect, or not necessarily defect, generally defect, that the doctors, they know this. It comes with birth, just like you might have one leg shorter than the other. So it's a congenital defect. So this, but the defect of the conditioned soul is not even congenital, because it's life after life. There's no word for that in English. But it's anadi karma phale paribhavarna vajale. And since time immemorial, we're in this material ocean. And in this material existence, brahm pramad vipralipsa karana partav, this mistakes, illusion, imperfect senses, and cheating propensity. So the materialist cannot be correct, and Vyasadeva must be correct. Now we may think that, well, you know, it doesn't seem to fit with modern science, with observed reality. But what is our observation? How much can we see? What do we know? Suhodra Maharaj has his take on this, which is very interesting, is that if the Bhagavatam doesn't, if the Bhagavat description does not tally with observed reality, then observed reality is wrong. Because what we observe is only through our limited senses, which in Kali Yuga, where we have, particularly in Kali Yuga, we don't, kalo nashta drisham, our vision is spoiled. Even our sensual powers, that's described in Bhagavatam itself, that our sensual powers are crippled. So we may be seeing, but our power of seeing is incomplete, even compared to persons in other yogas. So he gave the example where, like, you know, it's our trying to see and understand the universe is like having a race for thalidomide victims. You know, there's one of the first contraceptives, thalidomide, and then, you know, that's, it's great, you know, it's a contraceptive, and you can have sex as much as you like, and but then they found some children were born, and not only they're born, but their hands would be here. They didn't have any arms, and they didn't have, their feet would be like here. They didn't have any legs. So scientists said, "Well, sorry, we'll try another one. We'll give another drug, and don't worry, this one only gives you ovary cancer, but well, you know, it's just a mild side effect." Happens that you can enjoy sex and then later you get ovary cancer, so never mind about that. But we'll find another drug, so don't worry. We're working on it, we're doing research. So, we're experimenting on monkeys. So Suhodra Maharaj says, our attempt to understand the universe through our senses is like a race for thalidomide victims. No, they don't have any legs. How are they going to run? They're crippled, congenitally crippled. So it's like that. Therefore, we have to hear from Vyasadeva. And if we do, then we can understand what is reality. Reality is given by God, and Vyasadeva is his avatar, and he's given the Bhagavatam, and reality is described in Bhagavatam. We don't understand it, that's because we're damn idiots. Instead of accusing Vyasadeva of being an idiot, which is practically what these enlightened persons who, for instance, say that, well, obviously the description of the atom in Bhagavatam is wrong. So such persons, instead of accusing Vyasadeva of being an idiot, they should just accept that we're idiots, because we can't understand. If we can't understand, it's our defect, it's not Vyasadeva's defect. Of course, Vyasadeva gives us this knowledge to help us understand, but as Prabhupada explained, we can understand by standing under, not by thinking that. In other words, being humble. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavati avartam. We have to go on hearing from pure devotees in a humble mood, giving up the puffed up idea that we can understand by our own intelligence. Then we can understand. It's not difficult to understand how Krishna, for instance, replaced all the cowherd boys and calves that were stolen by Brahma. It's not difficult to understand. If you try to understand it through some kind of modern science, then, you know, how could it, what kind of scientific, how can we accept this scientifically? You can't accept it scientifically. That's how you understand it when you don't accept it scientifically. As soon as you stop trying to understand it scientifically, you can understand it. Because you can't understand it scientifically. There's a different methodology. Just like if you try to understand... Now let us study the history of Slovenia. And we shall... Okay, what are we going to use? Bring a Bunsen burner and a test tube. Well, that's good for studying chemistry, but it's not going to help you study the history of Slovenia. You say, well, you know, it's very good. It's paraphernalia. The government gave it to our school. The latest, greatest, most up-to-date Bunsen burners and test tubes. But we want to study the history of Slovenia. Well, here's a test tube. So it's like that. You want to understand Bhagavad Tattva, and you want to bring your science and your different theory. What's it got? It's got nothing to do with Bhagavad Tattva. It's outside the scope. It's a different methodology. But I'm a scientific. I insist we must study the history of Slovenia scientifically, with Bunsen burners and test tubes and prisms and hygrometers and scientifically. There's no way you can understand. When you give up the foolish attempt to understand a subject which is not understandable by that methodology and use the correct methodology, then you can understand. And the correct methodology is Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavati avartam. Hearing the message of Bhagavatam humbly, not unintelligently, but applying our intelligence in the proper way, then you can understand. But if you say, I'll study the history of Slovenia with test tubes, because I'm very intelligent, it's not intelligence, it's just foolishness. So the Bhagavatam can change the heart and will purify the heart. But we have to go on hearing. Nityang Bhagavata Sevya. We have to regularly go on hearing. We shouldn't think, now I read it, I finished it. Now I'm going on to something else. I already know Bhagavatam. Yeah, so now something else. Now we'll go on to some other topic. We already know. It's not like some school book. You study, I know, I passed the exam, did my Bhakti Shastra. Bhakti Shastra, of course, that's good, but it's not an academic attempt. Bhagavatam cannot be understood simply by an academic attempt. Even if one is a great Sanskrit scholar, he cannot understand Bhagavatam, he cannot understand it simply by Sanskrit knowledge. Bhagavatam ka bhaktya bhagavatam grahya na buddhyana cha tikaya. The Bhagavatam can be understood through bhakti, not through very learned commentaries and applying our very great intelligence. The message of Bhagavatam is service to Krishna. can be understood through service. Even abadhavatyapi, if it's compiled in English, this ridiculous language. But Bhagavat, because Bhagavat, that is Krishna, he can manifest himself. Even the Bhagavat message, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, in future that will be broadcast in the languages of animals and plants. So if Krishna wants, he can make himself, he can manifest himself even in such languages, which we can't even imagine. So Sanskrit is the perfect language for understanding the perfect person. But if we don't have the perfect attitude, then we can't understand, even through great Sanskrit scholarship. Whereas, if we have the proper attitude, then Krishna makes himself available through his kindness in all these different languages. When the Bhagavatam and Mahabharata and Ramayana, they were first being composed in Indian vernacular languages, there were great protests. This so-called Hindi Ramayana, this Ramcharitmanas. And in so many languages, Bengali, Oriya, Telugu, Tamil, they made Ramayana in the different regional languages of India. And the pandits, the brahmanas, they were very upset. This is wrong. It should be in Sanskrit only. And even now, some of the sampradayas, they think that this Gauriya Vaishya is all in Bengali. And you know, what is this Bengali? It's not Sanskrit. And they tend to look down on that. But Chaitanya Charitamrita is more exalted than so many Sanskrit literatures. It is the Srimad Bhagavatam is Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It is the spotless Purana, which is very dear to the Vaishnavas. But the essence of Bhagavatam, which even many acharyas with their Sanskrit commentaries didn't find, has been expressed in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali, which from the pure Sanskritist's point of view is just some, compared to English or Slovenian or whatever, it's a very fine language. Actually, the Bengali that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that the Gauriya Vaishnavas, by speaking the Gauriya Bhasha, the language of the Bengali, that means not the rickshaw wallahs Bengali, but this Gauriya, his language, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, that language. Then they prepare themselves for entering Golok Vrindavan. So, language definitely, this Sanskrit is important. And it's required actually that some of our devotees, they know this, because the scriptures, which are our praman, they are our, praman is translated as evidence, but it means a lot more than evidence. It means authority. So that is in Sanskritum, and so many subtle points may arise in study of Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is unlimited. So Krishna Tula, as it's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Tula Bhagavat Vibhu Sarva Shrai, Prati shloke, just as in this verse, prati shloke. Prati shloke, prati akkare, nana artha koi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Bhagavatam is the same as Krishna. And just like Krishna is all powerful and can give shelter to all. And in every word and in every syllable, so many meanings are there. Of course, there's one meaning, surrender to Krishna. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. But there are so many nuances of that, and that may be argued in different ways by different wranglers. So, actually, what is our praman? We need to understand in Sanskrit. At least some devotee scholars are required. Again, not simply scholar, but they must be actual Bhagavats. They must actually be one with the message of Bhagavatam. Ek Bhagavata Baro Bhagavata Shastra Ar Bhagavat Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra. There are two kinds of Bhagavat, of which the Bhagavatam book is, but it's non-different from Krishna, so that's considered in that one sense superior, because the other kind of Bhagavat is he who is the receptacle of bhakti ras. So, Bhagavat person is also non-different from Bhagavan, in one sense. He's a Bhagavat because he knows what is the message of Bhagavatam, and is one with that message. Chitete korea aikya. So that it's important that Bhagavatam should be understood in its original language also, because there's a tendency in translation to change or obfuscate the message. So that's also required that some devotees become very learned in this. But the life that Prabhupada wanted to transmit, the life of Bhagavatam, is not simply studying conjugations of verbal roots and all, but the life is the spirit of service to Krishna. So this Prabhupada came to transmit the message of Bhagavatam, one of service to Krishna. He was Bhagavat, he himself, living the message of service to Krishna. He was able to transmit that. So this message of service to Krishna, which is bhakti, that is transmitted through Bhagavatam and by Bhagavats. And if we stick to this Bhagavat parampara, the parampara of Bhagavats, then the life of bhakti will continue to be nourished and spread throughout the world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he recognized the Bhagavat parampara as compared to simply some formal diksha lines in which someone, because my father's a guru, I'm a guru. These are his disciples and they're his property, and his disciples' children, they'll be my disciples, my property. So this blood and flesh conception of parampara, that's not parampara, a line of bodies. But the line of life, that is the Bhagavat parampara, which will be successful in the world. It is successful in the world. As long as that spirit of service is there. That spirit of service is based solidly on Bhagavat Shastra. If we deviate from that, then we deviate from Krishna consciousness. So it's not simply some ill-defined feeling, bhav. Yes, bhav. Krishna bhakti is bhav, feeling. But that bhav, that is based on Shastra. Tachchadadhana muniyo jnana vairagya yuktaya pasyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shutagrihitaya. So these words, bhaktya shutagrihitaya, the Prabhupada gave such a long purport, and this, he repeated the whole purport in one Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. He thought this is so important that the process of bhakti is to be understood by the seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and renunciation, can practically see the personality of Godhead within his heart by the process of hearing in the bhakti line. So there is so much importance to be given to this proper hearing. No one can be properly purified who has not heard properly. Prabhupada states in one of these purports in this section. So proper hearing, that has to go on. Now that I've heard, all right, I read Bhagavatam, I heard so many classes, and I already know it. But no, you have to go on hearing. Otherwise, relapse. We recover from the state of materialistic life by hearing Bhagavatam. And if we don't go on hearing, then relapse. Then we go back. Again, sick man. But the problem may be that we think, now I am healthy. And we go around infecting others with our disease, thinking, I'm healthy. Nothing wrong with me. There was, at the beginning of the early 20th century, there was this famous Typhoid Mary. She was working as a cook in various cafes and institutes. And she didn't have typhoid, she was quite healthy, but everything she cooked became infected with typhoid germs. And so many people died of typhoid, and eventually they caught her and locked her up. And then she came, and then they let her out again. And then again she, on the condition she didn't cook, and again she started cooking. And so she was a walking typhoid epidemic. I'm healthy, you know. Nothing wrong with me. I cook, you know, what's wrong with that, you know? That's my job. That's what I do. But so many people died. So we may think, you know, I know Bhagavatam, and, you know, I'm giving some very learned comments on it, and, you know, what's wrong with that? I'm all right. And in the meantime, so many people's spiritual life is spoiled. So we have to go on hearing from the Bhagavats. Just like yesterday we heard, Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj was recommending, hear from Srila Prabhupada, listen to his lectures, don't just read. That's good, read. Don't just read, I mean, if you're reading, you're doing, that's good. But hear also. Absorb the message of Bhagavatam from the Bhagavat. Otherwise, if we hear from non-devotees, mixed devotees, pseudo-devotees, then we won't get the message of Bhagavatam. Our service spirit will go down. And we'll want to compromise Krishna consciousness to our own sense gratification. This is what's going on. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. It's a little late. Probably. Okay. All right. So any questions about this can come up at 11 o'clock. Hare Krishna.